Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where, as you can see on the screen behind me, today we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, the deity and personality of the Holy Spirit. Now, unfortunately, today, in many churches, you see one of two extremes when it comes to the Holy Spirit. You either see the Holy Spirit pretty much ignored. That's one end of the spectrum, and that's wrong. On the other end of the spectrum, you see the Holy Spirit as the main focus, the Holy Spirit as the one that, you know, that everybody is looking to for power, to do miracles, and to speak in tongues, and things like that. And you see abuses of the Holy Spirit. So on the one extreme, ignoring the Holy Spirit. Again, that's wrong. On the other extreme, you see all kinds of abuses. You know, the Holy Spirit, you know, kind of, you have the fire of the Holy Spirit in you, and you're rolling around the ground, and you're yelling and screaming, and just this uncontrollable cacophony of chaos. That's wrong also. And so what we want to do is we want to take a look at what the Bible says about the deity and personality of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, let's take a look at the deity first. Here in Genesis chapter 1, right at the beginning, where we read about creation, we see Genesis 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. So we see here, in creation, we see the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the third member of the Trinity, obviously involved in creation, which tells you about his deity, right? Because only God is self-existent. Only God is eternal. Only God is triune. And so right here at the beginning of creation, we see the deity of the Holy Spirit as he's involved in creation, right? We also see the deity of the Holy Spirit. Go to the New Testament, Acts chapter 5, when a husband and wife decided to lie. To lie in the middle of a worship service. And we see in chapter 5, verse 1, what happened. A man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold a piece of property and kept back some of the price for himself with his wife's full knowledge, and bringing a portion of it, he laid it at the apostles' feet. Back then, when people during a church service were making offerings, they literally would lay the offerings. They bring the offering forward, money, and lay it at the apostles' feet. This is the early church there in Jerusalem. So we see that Ananias brought this offering. So, big deal, making an offering, laying at the apostles' feet. Well, verse 3, Peter, one of the apostles, said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? That's not a good thing to say to somebody, right? I mean, but Peter is an apostle. He says to Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart? To lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back some of the price of the land. While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? In other words, Peter was saying, Ananias, you brought this offering, you declared this was the full amount from the sale of some property you had. Well, Ananias, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And again, what Peter said to Ananias was, look, that was your land. You weren't forced to sell it, and even after you sold it, you had the right to make the decision how much you wanted to bring as an offering. But Ananias, and again, with his wife's full knowledge, Sapphira, they lied. They were putting on a show. They wanted to show everybody in the church, look how much we offered. And Peter said to him, why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? Now watch this. He says, you have not lied to men, but to God. Do you see it? Earlier in verse 3, Peter said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. Here in verse 4, Peter said, you've lied to God. What was Peter saying about the Holy Spirit? That he's God. Third member of the Trinity, right? So you see the deity of the Holy Spirit. We saw his deity at creation. We see his deity declared, right? Right here in Acts chapter 5. And oh, by the way, in case you're interested, after Peter said those words, you've lied to God. As Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. He died. God killed him. And great fear came over all who heard of it. You think? And then young men got up, probably the ushers in the church, covered him up, carried him out, and they buried him. And then you can read the rest of the chapter where you see his wife came in 3 hours later after the service had already begun, and the same thing happened to her. Why? Because they had lied to the Holy Spirit, who is God, third member of the Trinity. Okay? Another text you can look at, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You see the deity of the Holy Spirit. Verse 10, the Apostle Paul said to us, the apostles, God revealed them, God's promises, God's truth, through the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit, right? Revealed God's wisdom to the apostles and prophets. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. Why? Because he's God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Why? Because he's God, third member of the Trinity. So just in these few passages, Genesis 1, Acts 5, 1 Corinthians 2, we see the deity of the Holy Spirit, right? We also see in the scriptures the personality of the Holy Spirit. For instance, go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, where Paul was telling the believers there in the church in Ephesus, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. You cannot grieve an it, right? You cannot grieve an impersonal force, which unfortunately some people, especially, you know, Muslims, Mormons, and other religions that deny the Trinity, when it comes to the Holy Spirit, you know, they will often refer to the Spirit as some sort of impersonal force or an it, or even something that's just imagined by us as Christians. Well, here we see the personality of the Holy Spirit, right? Scripture declares, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Well, how is it that we would grieve the Holy Spirit? Well, the verse above, verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, right? How? By having unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. But also the verse after that, verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. We don't do that. Guess who we're grieving? The Holy Spirit. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is not some impersonal force. He's not some inanimate, thing that we've just made up. He is the third person of the Trinity. He is holy God. But we see that he is the third person of the Trinity. He has feelings. He has a personality. And when we, as believers, who have, by the way, been regenerated by the Holy Spirit, made alive in the spiritual realm, when we, by the way, who have been given the gift of faith by the Holy Spirit, to be able to repent of our sins and place our faith and trust in Christ alone. And when we, by the way, who have been sealed by the Holy Spirit and who have been indwelt by the Holy Spirit, he lives in us. When we do things, say things, even think things that dishonor our holy God, you know what that does to the Holy Spirit? Who has regenerated you, who has sealed you, who has indwelt you. You know what that does with the Holy Spirit? It grieves him. Why? Because he has a personality, right? That's why Paul was saying over in chapter 6 of Ephesians, chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, verse 19, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And that you're not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Well, that makes sense, because your body is the temple of God. The Holy Spirit indwells you. And we don't want to grieve him, do we? We want to please him. And what brings him great pleasure? Just hop over to John chapter 15. You want to see the personality of the Holy Spirit? Jesus Christ in the upper room with his disciples, the apostles. He had already dismissed Judas to begin the betrayal. And it's here that theologians refer to Jesus's upper room discourse, where he is preparing the 11 for what Jesus was going to go through his crucifixion and death and resurrection, as well as his ascension to heaven, and Jesus' promise that he would not leave the 11 alone. He would not abandon them as orphans. Rather, Jesus here is telling them, promising them, that they're going to receive from the Father and from our Lord the promised helper. Who's the helper? God the Holy Spirit. Chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus promised them, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father. Who's the Helper? He's the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. Here we go. He will testify about me. And you, Jesus then said to the 11, will testify also, because you have been with me from the beginning. You see the personality of the Holy Spirit there too, right? Bearing witness to Christ. The Holy Spirit here on earth, though equal with God the Father and God the Son, the Holy Spirit here on earth wants to point people to Christ. Isn't that what Jesus said? He will testify about me. He's not drawing attention to himself. He's not looking, though he deserves all worship, right? Third member of the Trinity, no doubt. But the whole, just like God the Son, second person of the Trinity, humbled himself by taking on flesh, Jesus Christ willingly submitted to the will of the Father and the power of the Spirit, though co-equal with the Father and the Holy Spirit, we see the humility of Christ here on earth. In the same way, we see that with the Holy Spirit. Though the Holy Spirit, third member of the Trinity, deserves all worship, all honor, all praise, all adoration, no doubt, his main role here on earth, where he derives great pleasure, the greatest pleasure, is having people just focus on him and ignoring Christ? Having people, you know, look to him and him alone and ignoring Christ? No, that grieves the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, when he comes, the Spirit of truth, he will testify about me. Chapter 16, Jesus says the same thing. Verse 12, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. Again, you see the personality of the Holy Spirit? He will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, though he is God, third member of the Trinity. He will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will disclose to you, again, you see his personality, what is to come, which then the apostles put on paper, the New Testament, right? Verse 14, he, the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, will glorify me. Do you see it? He will take of mine and disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. What did Jesus say the Holy Spirit would do once he had been sent by the Father and the Son here on earth? The Holy Spirit would testify about Christ. The Holy Spirit would point people to Christ. The Holy Spirit would glorify and magnify Christ. He is the Spirit of truth. He would never, ever rob the Son of the glory he deserves. Again, I cannot emphasize this enough. I don't want to be misquoted on this. Does the Holy Spirit deserve all worship, all honor, all adoration, all glory? Yes. Because again, we've seen the deity of the Holy Spirit. We also have seen his personality. We don't want to grieve him, right? By, you know, holding on to bitterness and not forgiving others, and obviously by misusing our bodies, which the temple of the, you know, living God. So we don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. At the same time, we don't want to try to make the Holy Spirit do that which he is not here on earth to do, to take the focus away from Christ and put it on himself. Jesus makes it very clear. When the Holy Spirit would come, day of Pentecost, Jesus makes it very clear who he would point to. He will testify about me. He will glorify me. He will take of mine and disclose it to you. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost. He was not only with the believers, but also indwelt them in them, right? The Holy Spirit is the one, go to 2 Peter chapter 1, who, as Scripture declares, verses 20 and 21, we know that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men, Old Testament prophets, as well as New Testament apostles and those closely associated with them, but men were moved by the Holy Spirit and thus spoke from God. The Holy Spirit revealed God's wisdom, God's truth to the human authors of Scripture. The Holy Spirit inspired the writings of the Scripture. He is the source of Scripture. He's also the superintendent. He protected the writings. And the Holy Spirit illumines the truths of Scripture to believers. That's one of his ministries. So again, we see the deity of the Holy Spirit. We see his personality. He's got many ministries, obviously, right? As well as convicting people of sin and righteousness, as well as regenerating them and on and on. But again, the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ, points people to Christ. And I wanted to emphasize this point because one of the abuses in the modern church is this insatiable desire to try to get the Holy Spirit to do for the people that which he has not been sent to do. You know, oh, we need power from the Holy Spirit to speak in tongues. We need power from the Holy Spirit to raise people from the dead. We need power from the Holy Spirit to this, to that, to heal this. I mean, again, the Holy Spirit inspired the apostles of Christ to write the New Testament about Christ. The Holy Spirit glorifies Christ, points people to Christ, magnifies Christ. The Holy Spirit indwells the people of Christ. He's convicted us of sin and righteousness. He regenerates us. He gives us the gift of faith to be able to repent and place our faith and trust in Christ alone. He seals us. He indwells us. He is with us. He is in us. And what is he doing? He is pointing us to Christ. As we read the pages of Scripture, we see the face of Christ. We see the life of Christ, right? I mean, think about what the Holy Spirit inspired. Just think of the New Testament. Well, think of the Old Testament. Everything's about the coming of Christ. We see Christ. Think about the Gospels. The life of Christ. The Holy Spirit inspired that. He points us to Christ. Think about Acts. We see the work of the Holy Spirit implanting churches of Christ. Think about the New Testament epistles. Doctrine about Christ. How we as the people of Christ are to live for the glory of Christ. Think about, I don't know, Hebrews. The sufficiency of Christ. The supremacy of Christ. Think about Revelation. The second coming of Christ. Do you see what Jesus, when Jesus told the 11, he will point to me. He will glorify me. He will testify about me to you. And through them to us. Every time you open the Scriptures, which the Holy Spirit inspired, we need to pray to him and ask him for his ministry of illumination to help us understand just a little bit more about Christ. This is what brings him pleasure. This is what brings him joy. Again, does that mean that you can't pray to him? Of course you can. Does that mean you can't praise him? Of course you can. But here on earth, we know what Jesus said he would do. And again, you know, I think about John MacArthur, right? I mean, this guy for over 50 years has preached through the New Testament, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book. 50 years preaching about Christ. Not just in the New Testament, but interpreting Scripture with Scripture, even in the Old Testament, which was pointing to the coming of Christ. 50 years. Members of that church staring at the face of Christ every week. And I've heard people say that he is devoid of the Holy Spirit because he says that, you know, the gift of tongues are no longer in operation. They ceased with the end of the apostolic age and the coming of, completion of the canon of Scripture. Because he doesn't believe that people are gifted with those, you know, the supernatural gifts that the apostles had, you know, speaking in tongues, raising people from the dead, healing people from serious diseases and so forth. People have said that he is devoid of the Holy Spirit. I've heard him say, referring to what people have said about him, boy, that MacArthur is a pretty good preacher. Can you imagine if he just had the Holy Spirit? What has John MacArthur been doing for over 50 years? Pointing people to Christ through the words of Christ, the Word of Christ. Who is the one who has empowered that man for over 50 years to keep doing that? Think what Jesus said. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will testify about me. He will glorify me. Pointing people to Christ through the pages of Scripture for over 50 years? Does that sound like a man who's devoid of the Holy Spirit? No. That's a man who preaches in the power of the Spirit. The pages of Scripture that have been inspired by the Holy Spirit. And how can we be so certain? Who is he pointing to all the time? Christ. What did Jesus say the Holy Spirit would do? Point people to Christ. So today we've seen the deity of Christ. We've seen the personality of Christ. We don't ignore the Holy Spirit. I'm sorry, the deity of and personality of the Holy Spirit. We don't ignore the Holy Spirit. We rejoice in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, right? I wouldn't dare try to study the Scriptures or preach the Scriptures without the help of the Holy Spirit. Not a chance. That's like a famous preacher once said, Adrian Rogers, who's now gone home to be with the Lord. He said, trying to study the Scriptures or preach the Scriptures without the power of the Holy Spirit is trying to fly to the moon on a broomstick. Right? How true is that? So we do not ignore the Holy Spirit, but we don't try to attribute to him works that he's not here on earth doing. We don't try to have him take the focus off of Christ and get try to get people in an ecstatic state where they think they're worshiping the Holy Spirit. No. We see in the Scriptures the deity of Christ and the deity of the Holy Spirit and the personality of the Holy Spirit. And what does the Holy Spirit love to do? Testify about Christ and bring glory to Christ. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at PastorAndrew@AOL.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.